I want to bring you greetings from Bangalore Presbyterian Church and our family. I want to thank the pastor and the church for this privilege of bringing God's word to you. Don't know how I got chosen. I guess the church saw fit that if God can use a donkey, he can use a guy with three first names. Would you kindly turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to look at verses 14 to 19. 2 Kings 19, looking at verses 14 to 19. Cricket unites the rich and the poor. Hindu, Sikh, Christian, Muslim, in India. And I'm not talking about the insect, but the game, cricket. When the team is doing well, the whole country erupts in joy. Joyful celebration. But when our team is doing poorly, lagging behind, you can see it on a billion plus faces. Shoulders drooping and legs heavy. And I believe as we in this world see evil advance, we see communities around the world being hammered by darkness of this age. We wonder, what's the point? What's the point of our prayers? What's the point of missions? I know we pray. You probably pray like me many times a day. But do you wonder, does God hear my prayer? And do you ask yourself, what should my prayer be like? I'd like us this morning to consider the prayer of Hezekiah. Not so well known, but it speaks volumes to us about how we should pray. It's not about how much we should pray, but I want to suggest to you, it's about how we pray. Hezekiah's guide is a prayer that digs deeper and reaches higher as we see what God really cares about and how we should shape our prayers to be in line with His heart as we pray, Thy kingdom come. Verse 14. Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, who he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste the nations of their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands and the wood and stone. Therefore, they were destroyed. So now, O Lord, our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that we can come as your children before you to worship, to adore, to exalt, but also to learn. We recognize, O Lord, that our lives, our prayers, our heart needs to be changed so that we can be in tune with who you are, what you desire. We pray, O Lord, that this morning you would teach us what it means for us to pray for thy kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask this prayer. Amen. To see how this works, we need to ask ourselves, we need to be honest and ask ourselves, what are our prayers like? Are our prayers about our world? How do we pray? What do we tend to pray for? If we're honest, I believe the answer would be that we tend to pray for things around us. Troubles for loved ones, illness, financial problems, children's education, for jobs that we want our children to get or for us, tragedy that happens around us, family breakdown, death. We pray about things before us. We pray about things that we face, that we see all around us. And what does all of this have in common? It's about us. The focus is on us. Now, it's right to pray for events in the news. It's right to pray for our children. It's right to pray for our loved ones. It's right to pray for wisdom and for many other things, for those that we care about. But if our prayers are only about us, something is missing. Hezekiah is the king of Judah. The Bible describes him, if you look a chapter earlier at chapter 18, verse 3, as one who did right in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 5 of chapter 18, it tells us that Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. Verse 7 of chapter 18, it says that the Lord was with him. Now, Hezekiah needs the Lord to be with him. Because you see, trouble is brewing on all sides. In the last few years, the king of Assyria has defeated the northern kingdom of Israel. The people of the north have been taken into exile far away. And now this Assyrian commander is at the gates of Jerusalem. And as we say, he's talking trash. The message is clear. Surrender or I'll rip you to pieces. The prophet Isaiah, who lived and served during this time, reassures Hezekiah and he says, God is with you. But then the king of Assyria, this charming fellow by the name of Sennacherib, sends more message with an even more deadly message. And it's crystal clear. He says, we're coming to get you. No one has stopped us before, and you won't either. By all standards, this is a hard place to be in. And it is a hard time. And though God has promised to be with Hezekiah, to be with his people, the promise of God still stands that he will bless his people, that the nations of the earth will be blessed through the sons of Abraham. Right now, it's looking rather bleak. It's looking very desperate. It's not looking good at all. Imagine what your prayer and my prayer would have been like in this context and situation. Now let's look at what Hezekiah prays for. Well, he prays for deliverance. We see that he doesn't just pray, however, for his interests and for personal deliverance, but he prays for God's kingdom. Hezekiah focuses his attention and his prayers about God's kingdom. Notice how he prays with a focus on how the actions of the Assyrians relate to God as the ruler of heaven and earth. What does he say? You alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. Lord, you are the one true living God. In verse 15. He's mocking your power and your authority, is what he's saying in verse 16. Hezekiah sees through the lens of the glory of God. In his view, the universe is all about God's purposes and all about God's honor. We see this clearly when we see that Hezekiah prays, not just about his small world. It's not just about his small kingdom. And his kingdom is very small at this point. But he prays, as we see in verse 19, about God's kingdom. Now, O Lord, O God, deliver us from his hand so that all kingdoms of the earth may know that you alone, O Lord, are God. There is a crisis before Hezekiah. And he prays for it. But he prays for deliverance with a purpose. He prays that in this situation before him, the situation before his kingdom, notice that this is not just about a win or loss in a game. It's about his country being decimated, his people being taken away in exile. And what does he pray? He prays that in the situation before him, his kingdom, through the circumstance before him, all that may know that Lord is God. He could have prayed, Lord, just get me out of this. Just cause them to be defeated. He could have said, keep my family safe. I don't want to go into exile. But what does he pray for? He prays that the world may know that the Lord is God. Not about, I really have to have this. I really need your protection. I really need your covering. I really need your hedge of protection around me. If you do this, then when it's all passed, I will do this, this, and this for you. That's how we pray, isn't it? Sound familiar? But instead, Hezekiah's prayer reflects a deep desire for the honor of God, his creator. That God His Redeemer would come through, and it would be for His glory. Do we dare compare our prayers with Hezekiah? How do your prayers and mine stack up compared to this prayer that we're being taught? Do our prayers seem shallow? Do we begin to look small in the light of how we pray? Now, please don't hear me say that God does not value us. God does care for us. He's concerned about everything in our lives. He is our creator. He made us. He sent us a redeemer, Jesus Christ, His only Son, who died for our sins, who rose again from the dead to forgive us of our sins. We must recognize, and we should be convinced, that we are valuable to God, but we must also acknowledge that we are not the center of everything. We must appreciate that I am not the center of the universe. So there does seem something rather silly if our prayers are for myself, my wife, my life, and my children. Our prayers paint an accurate picture of what we believe. We can't say that we believe that this is God's world and yes, I'm important, but I am not the center of the world. If our prayers just are about I, me, and myself and those around me. The prayer of Hezekiah, I believe, helps us catch a vision for prayer that is bigger. Dr. Richard Pratt, who's preached on this topic quite a bit, says about the Lord's Prayer, we are praying for God's kingdom to be known and seen and experienced by all nations. We are praying for people to follow the ways of the Lord here on earth as His creatures do in heaven. We are praying that those who are in bondage to sin will be set free. We are praying that those who are worshiping false gods, stone and wood, or even idols that they have created in their own hearts, will repent and see that the God of the Bible is the true and living God and kneel before Him. That is the prayer of Hezekiah and should be ours as well. In Madison, all the way in Bangalore as well. So what does kingdom praying sound like then? Well, let's say you're praying for the latest tragedy that's splashed all around your TV screen. Perhaps it's a shooting in a school, or it could be a tragedy that is unfolding somewhere in your country. How do you pray? Yes, we do pray for relief. You pray for comfort for those who are impacted. But a kingdom prayer is far more deeper. A kingdom prayer says, Lord, You know this has happened, and You are good enough and great enough to bring kingdom growth even through this tragedy. Would You send Christians into the lives of those impacted by all of these events, so that they can show the love of Jesus, that they can show His love? Will You make this so that new people who have never experienced the love of God experience it, even through God's people gathering around those who are impacted. Let's say you're praying for the health of a person who's struggling with chronic health issues. Yes, pray for healing. Is it right for God to provide comfort and health? Yes. It's what God expects from us, to pray for healing and comfort. But a kingdom prayer goes beyond that and says, only you know what's next, O Lord. But no matter what happens, help this brother or sister in this present situation, in the pain, in the darkness of what is happening in their lives. Help them to show the character of Christ to those around them. Doctors, nurses, extended family. And please bring him or her in contact with all kinds of people who do not know you as their personal Savior. And may their faith in you touch them. And may it someday turn into faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say you're praying for your own children. We all have children. We love them dearly. And as they navigate situations in life and opportunities as teenagers and young adults, and even as adults, our temptation is to pray just for their survival, just for their well-being. But a kingdom prayer is much deeper. That we ask that even in their struggles that they would know of God's help. That though they may not be loved by men and women, that they may show the love of Christ to those who don't love them. Who challenge their world and life view. That they may show Christ's love to colleagues and classmates. Your kingdom come as deacons serve the needy in Madison. Your kingdom come as we listen to heartbroken people, as we interact with them in daily living. Your kingdom come as we scatter around this community where God has placed you to work and daily and do works of daily labor. Kingdom prayer is not just an add-on to our prayers. It is a passionate, God-centered desire for God's kingdom to come. And it is seeping through every prayer and every opportunity that you and I have to live life in its most ordinary and mundane. That in it all, we will be used for God's glory, that His name will be exalted, and we will not. That through our living, His name would be exalted, and that people would look at us and not say, wow, what a great guy, what a great woman, what a great God. How might God answer this prayer, you ask? If you look at the rest of the story, not the text that we read, but if you go on to, I think it's verse 35 of chapter 19. That night, when Hezekiah prayed, an angel of the Lord went to the Assyrian camp, and he put to death 185,000 men. And then the great ruler Sennacherib, the charming king of Assyria, who sent his messengers to Hezekiah with those deadly messages, while he worshipped his false gods, his own sons took his life. We may not expect God to do exactly that here and now. But what God will do through the prayers of his people who devote themselves to praying for God's kingdom, I can't tell you. But if this is any indication, his name will be exalted. His name will be glorified. And you and I, unworthy as we are, have the privilege of opening our hearts and crying out and living out the gospel in our daily lives. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not even about my family. It's about the God who is gracious to love me and love my family and send his son to die on the cross for me, so that I may know a love that is greater than any love, and that in my life live in such a way that I show this amazing love. It may call for sacrifice. It may cause for pain, but there is a purpose. Christ may be exalted. Here today, as individuals and as a congregation, the call is to commit ourselves to prayer for his kingdom than for our own kingdom. And that is the temptation. That is what we all succumb to all too often. To build structures and to build people's imagination of us is either God's gift to the world or the greatest thing to happen. But in the quiet of an early morning, in a hospital room, in a hurried walk down the hall, in your commute to your place of work, in front of the news, or in front of your children and your spouse, in our prayer closets, or our prayer vigils, as we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray. Not to us, O Lord, but to your name be glory. And as God lays on your heart, pray that he may also lay on your heart to understand that our worship is also about returning the blessings that he has lavished upon us, so that the kingdom, this eternal kingdom, that one day we will sing and skip and dance for joy in, will be an ever-expanding kingdom, and that people would come from the ends of the earth. And me will dance with you in that kingdom. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be a part of a community that recognizes that this is all passing, that there's something far greater that is coming. And Father, in preparation for that, help us, O Lord, to do what we are called to support each other, to send, to go, to give, and to pray these kingdom prayers. Not because it sounds good, but because it is our only hope. In Jesus' name we pray.